You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. See, I got the mic. We're all set here. We got a special show tonight. We're going to talk about a new play in Los Angeles, and I want to get to some stories. What a day it was in the news department. Couple of things happened today. The North Korea and South Korea, they were walking. It was like they were doing Camelot, live Camelot version. But they were walking, and you never know. Maybe there'll be a full Korea. You never know. But we want to welcome everyone. It's a great weekend, May. They have the Israeli independence this Sunday. We'll see if we're going to be going there. And then what else we can say is we're going to be on the air 9 years coming in May. Pretty soon, we'll do a special show. And then what a week it was. The judge puts Stormy Daniels, Trump's little dolly, case in hold for 90 days, citing likelihood Michael Cohen will be indicted. Wow. Only in America you could do crazy, crooked things and be indicted. You know, which is true. You know, you do crooked things, you'd be indicted. Anyway, what I was going to mention is Golden State Killer. They found this guy after a number of years. They find him. And guess what? He needs a wheelchair. And he killed all these people. And they have him on suicide watch. An older guy. He must be in his 70s. And they found him. It's so weird how they find these killers. It's weird, you know. And then other things is we talk about the North and South Korea summit. They were holding hands. I thought they were going to make out. Holding hands. Also, there has been E. coli outbreak. You know, on lettuce. And just be careful. Don't buy lettuce. A lot of E. coli. I've heard it last week, too, because I go to a lot of farmer market. You know, the farmer markets, which are great. They have one in downtown L.A. They have one in Hollywood. And I go to the one. I go to a couple of them in the Valley. But I go mostly in, you know, Hollywood and the farmer markets. Got everything. And also Culver City. Anyway, they have Eli Cole. So don't buy any lettuce for a while. Now, NASA scraps a lunar surface mission, just as it's supposed to focus on other things, because they're gonna start doing the Mars thing. And South Korea summit, we talked about. White House has skepticism, but I think it's cool that you have a country like North Korea trying to be friendly with South Korea. We'll see what happens. GOP Congressman Patrick Meehan resigned from Congress amid ethics probe. Boy, a lot of people are resigning from Congress. This one I can't believe. Tom Brokaw rips sensational accuser, claims I was ambushed and then walked away. So I think the Tom Brokaw thing is kind of strange. You see him on the news, I can see him go, you know, come to my house. And it's kind of weird because you don't see him like that. Uh-huh. And we had Bill Cosby this week. He's found guilty. And Bill Cosby, what are they going to do? He's 80 years old. What are you going to do? And I think that's crazy, too, because the man's 80. What are you going to do? You're going to punish him? Put him in jail? What is it going to do? You know? Even though he did crazy things, but he's 80 years old, you know? Grabbing my water there. And then we're going to talk about a wonderful place soon. And Swedish DJ Avicelli died at 28. Young guy. And Mike Pompei, he's going to be confirmed soon to be the Secretary of State. And we're going to talk about UFOs later. We talked about UFOs there. Now let's talk about the play. I'm going to introduce a young lady here, Amanda.
Hi.
Hi, Amanda. Welcome to Cameron Sports and Live. Right. Maybe you can tell my audience about this wonderful play.
Hi. Yes, I'm the artistic director of Fugitive Kind Theater, and we are opening a brand new world premiere adaptation of an old play, which you probably read in high school, called Antigone. And this is a fabulous new adaptation for our times by New York playwright Matt Minuchino.
Oh, nice. So tell us, what spins are you going to do on this play?
Yeah. Well, if you remember it from high school, it's a this woman, Antigone. It's the end of a war, and she had two brothers. They fought on either side of the war. And one is seen as a traitor, and one is seen as a hero. And so her uncle takes over the throne after the war and decides that he's going to give the brother who's the hero full honors, and the other brother who's a quote-unquote traitor, he's going to leave him unburied. In ancient Greek tradition, this was a really tragic thing to do, to not be able to pay your family funeral rites.
Right.
So she decides to stand up to him. She thinks it's unjust, and she decides to give her brother funeral rites and bury him. And that sets off a whole chain of events standing up to the authority of the state. And I don't think it's giving anything away to tell you that it doesn't turn out well for her.
Okay. We figured something's going to happen.
But this new adaptation really takes the times that we're living in. You were just talking about Bill Cosby and Tom Brokaw. And so there's a lot of resonances in this version with the Me Too movement, with a woman standing up to a man in authority, especially a white man in authority.
It's about time.
I know, right? And saying, I don't have to follow the arbitrary laws that you make. And the Creon, who's the king, keeps saying, you know, the state's the most important thing. The laws are the most important thing. The country is the most. And Antigone keeps saying, no, being kind to each other is the most important thing. And listening and taking care of each other. And so it's a really very timely
verse.
Yeah, it's really
very interesting. Because, you know, with now, you know, from the Bill Cosby thing to also, you know, Stormy Daniels and all the other stuff. We're going back, actually, to the ancient times, what society is, you know, ruling on in the sense of morality. What is morality? What are we doing?
Yes.
And women were treated horribly. And I still think, even with the Me Too, we still got to get there.
Yeah.
We still got to get there. And the problem is that you have people that don't see that road. And the road is so easy for us. If we would have that road for women to be just as equal as men, which should be, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. But the problem is the equality.
Yeah.
It gets back to equality. So now the play itself, so tell us about a few of your actors. We'll get their names out.
Yeah. So Antigone is played by Sage Howard, a fabulous actor who I've worked with for a really long time.
Uh-huh.
Our company is a company of actors who've been together for about 10 years. So when you come to see our work, it's very, there's a richness there that audiences get to experience. We don't hold auditions. We are a company that knows each other.
We're like an ensemble.
We're like an ensemble, yes, exactly.
Hollywood. That's what when they made movies here, that's how they did it.
We are definitely that, yeah. We are
Maybe
you'll
make
ensemble.
A movie.
We would love to make a movie. That's in the works.
That'd be fun.
Hopefully next summer we'll be filming a movie.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Mercedes Manning stars as Ismene. She's done a lot of TV work, a lot of film work. Jim Senti, also done a lot of film and TV. He's Antigone's husband.
Right.
And Jason Vanderbrake is Creon the King, who's a remarkable actor. He's 6'8".
Wow.
So he's a big presence in the space.
Yeah, he's like having Will Chamberlain.
Exactly.
In the audience.
Yeah.
Now tell us about... the message is great for women there.
Yeah.
It's a great message. And it's, by the way, the theater is in downtown L.A.
Yes.
Why downtown L.A.?
Downtown L.A. is really, I think, the most exciting place right now for live art that's happening. We have a lot of theaters in L.A. A lot of them are concentrated in Hollywood. But we've always liked to participate in this. There's a new freshness to the theaters. It's not, Bootleg is not in downtown, but it's close. It's between Silver Lake and downtown. And they're a really fantastic venue. They have a music stage every night, and then they are really the premier venue in L.A. for producing new ensemble work. Great space.
And what's good about that is there's so many good acting. Like your group is the old type of, when they did the, Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Where they had, they had the ensemble together, or MGM. And those were really the most successful movies of all time, because people worked together. There was they had schools on, on the studios, and the studios miss that now because a lot of films now, they miss the mark, sometimes in the performance because they don't have that. Like you have a togetherness and like a family unit.
Absolutely. Oh, I love that description. That's true.
It's family because you're developing people, you're putting them together, and then this could grow to, like I said, film. Mm-hmm. We don't know the other mediums it could go to. Now tell us about, we talked about downtown, and we talked about, there's probably, if you go downtown LA, they have wonderful restaurants down there. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is, this is Silver Lake is great.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of the fresh stuff from Silver Lake. Nice, nice area. Now tell us about the, now there'll be food trucks, you say.
Bootleg tends to have food trucks in front.
That's
cool. It's nice. There's a bar, it's a full bar Bootleg if that's your jam. And then it's different on different nights, but we quite often for events there have food trucks parked in front.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah, it's really nice.
You know what's cool about that? Because people don't want to go to a restaurant maybe, and they want to go, enjoy the thing and have food, and then when they go to the theater,
it's experience.
And they're it's the ambiance.
Yeah.
I'd say the ambiance of the now people are gonna wonder about Amanda. So Amanda, what kind of work have you done in the past? Where have you been on? She's a native Virginian.
Yep, I am.
And tell us about your life being from Virginia.
Yeah, I was raised in Virginia, in Charlottesville, Virginia. And I came out to Los Angeles about 10 years ago. I went to grad school.
Yay.
I came west. I love Virginia, but I'm a West Coast girl. UC Irvine is where I went to grad school.
UC Irvine, all right.
Yeah.
Very hot.
Had a great time there.
Did you?
Really, really loved it. And I studied, got my master's in directing.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Because, UCR is becoming a great school for a lot of great people are coming out from movie biz from UCR. So this is great. So tell us, you're from Virginia, go to UCR, and you're now, this is
UCI, UC Irvine.
UCI.
Yeah, UCI.
UCI, Irvine. Right by Newport Beach.
Yes, exactly.
There we go.
Yeah.
Anteaters.
Anteaters.
That's right. And you go to Irvine now, it's so big.
Yeah.
They're selling homes for $1 million or $2 million. Can you imagine?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy.
So tell us about your career. Mm-hmm. You come out, you have great schooling. What have you done in the past?
Well, in Virginia, I started my career in Shakespeare, actually. Okay. I worked for the American Shakespeare Center for a while. I was an actor and an educator and a director. And so that was sort of the foundations of my directing career. And then I came out and went in Los Angeles. I started doing new work inspired by the classics, which is clearly what Antigone is as well. And I've always really loved to work ensemble. It's really, really satisfying because you know everybody so well. And like you're saying, you're a family who also gets to work together. So when I got, after grad school, I actually had a Fulbright grant to go to New Zealand. So I went to New Zealand for 2 years and I did what's called community-based theater, which is where you go in and you work with the community to create a theater piece about something they're interested in. And so it's a form of social justice theater work.
Right.
So then I came back to Los Angeles and thought, well, what I want to do is put together the people that I knew from graduate school, and they were all out here, and so we've been now working together for 10 years.
Wow. You don't find that. Are they from Virginia?
I know.
Are they from Virginia and all over?
No, we all met at UC Irvine.
Very interesting.
Yeah, they're from all over.
And what's good about that is if you guys should do a movie down the road, you know each other.
Yeah.
You know each other's strength and weakness.
Yeah.
And it's good to have a cheerleader here and there.
Yeah.
As you do something like this, the project. Now, any former UCI people in the play?
Yeah. So UC Irvine graduates, Jason Vanderbreek's a graduate, Sage Howard is a graduate, Mercedes Manning is a graduate, our lighting designer, Karen Lawrence, is a graduate, our set designer, Janine Ringer, is a graduate, our sound designer, Corey Carrillo, is a graduate.
Oh, nice.
And then we have many other company members who aren't from UCI, but the seed was UC Irvine. So we're pretty proud of that.
Yeah, yeah, and Eaters United. Yeah.
Shout out to UC Irvine School of the Arts.
There you go. They have great, great people they're producing. Now, tell us about the shows itself. How is it going to be formatted? You're going to have matinees? You're going to have...
Yeah, so we'll be running Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And Sundays at 2 o'clock. It's only an hour and about 40 minutes, no intermission.
Oh,
because I think plays should be lean and don't let the air come out at intermission. So you come in, you tell the story well, and then you let people go 90 minutes later.
Now, that's a great idea because you know what? You go to the theater, and they'll have an intermission, and then you get really tired. And the audience gets tired, and they want to go, and you go, oh, my God. People are going through that bathroom.
I know.
They're going out that door.
You got to keep them.
Yeah, because you know what it is? Because people get so impatient. I've seen it. North Hollywood, NoHo, they have all these small theaters.
Yeah.
That's another area you're going to explore.
It's a great area.
NoHo, out here.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming a big theater area because a lot of small plays, a lot of people together. We're going to do more NoHo stuff and more downtown L.A.
Yeah.
Because we want to get people to get together. And also, I understand there are, in Los Angeles, there are late night theater, which is great because, you know, you get people familiar with theater. Once you go to one show, you want to go to more.
It's true.
Is that true?
Absolutely.
Is that true? Now, this projection will be, you keep it modern a little bit.
Definitely.
And people are going to go, okay, we've seen your play.
Yeah.
What would you say about this version of, you know, of this this ancient play? You know, how's it going to be changing people's eyes or their thoughts and whatever?
Yeah, I think it's really powerful to go see old stories,
right?
Because they stay part of our culture, and a lot of old stories we only read them in high school, but there's a reason that they're still produced. And so I think I've always thought as a theater maker, it's important to keep telling those old stories through the lens of the times we're living in now.
Right.
So we can examine, and you see in this play that humans don't change.
Right.
The circumstances change, but, and so I think there's a lesson in that to say, you know, wow, this feels really relevant and it was written centuries ago, which is can also be distressing.
People go, hey, centuries ago, centuries ago.
But what you see in this play that was not in the original clearly is many more female characters, stronger female characters.
Wonderful.
Much more of a feminist
version. Bravo.
Yeah. Matt Minichino, the playwright, has written a beautiful cast of female characters especially, which is fantastic.
What I was going to ask you is, when you see a play in NoHo or whatever, they started to have more female roles.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that a lot of the great actresses that we see, you know, work in theater here, that they weren't given roles.
Mm-hmm.
What do you still think we're still back? We're getting better.
Yeah.
But you still think we're still backwards in that there should be more roles for women?
Absolutely. For sure.
Yeah.
And we're in a really exciting time right now. I don't know if you know about the Kilroys, but this is an organization of female-identifying theater artists who put together this massive list of plays written by women and LGBTQI female-identifying playwrights, which is really exciting. So theaters across the country are using things like that list to make their seasons more inclusive. Because it is still true, even if you're casting more women, the plays that theaters produce, the whole season is generally white men. So we are at a really exciting time when that's changing. And then I see, as someone who comes from Shakespeare, a big shift around who we're casting in leading roles in Shakespeare. So you see big companies doing all-female productions.
Right.
Which is really exciting. So, yeah, it's changing. But as I was coming up, like, Hamlet was played by a guy, and maybe every now and then it would be a woman, but that would be an anomaly.
Right.
And that's starting to change.
That's it. Well, thank God for that.
Yeah, exactly.
And now, you were talking about these female people, you know, coming out. What we'd love to do is have them come on the show and talk about their works.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, when people hear about it, you know, they want to go, they want to see it. And especially in L.A., because we're so big, we're so vast. And I'm noticing that downtown L.A., because I've seen some plays, fabulous. You go down by the Disney, that area. It's just phenomenal. And, Downtown LA is unique if you're, you know, if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, great place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then Silver Lake is still like the yuppie town. I call it yuppie. And it's still...
Hipsters. It's hipsters.
Yeah, hipsters yeah. and people, you know, and people that want to go see plays, you know, they're yearning for stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now tell us, you know, we talked about you're going to be there for May 12th to June 20th, is that right?
June 2nd. We close on June 2nd.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, it's all right. It's a short.
I'd love to go for
the
20th.
I wish I went through the 20th. I know.
I wish I'd go for the 20th.
Yeah.
So tell us, we talked about tickets. What about ticket prices?
Yeah, so tickets are $25.
Cheap.
Yeah,
cheap.
We try to keep it affordable. And students are 20, and veterans are 20. And then on May 11th, which is a preview night, tickets are only $15 for everyone. So
May 11th.
May 11th, preview night. So we encourage you to come out for preview night. It's like getting a sneak peek.
Right.
And we always like to hear what our audiences think. So we open officially on May 12th, but
we'd love to see you
on the 11th. Yeah.
So on the 11th, is it almost sold out?
Getting there, yeah.
That's the best part is when it gets sold out.
I know,
out.
It's great.
And then what we'd like to do is maybe get some of the other actors. You work with the ensemble, we'll have them all come in.
Great, we'd love to do that.
We'd love to invite them in because they're part of the new generation of L.A. theater.
Yeah.
Because... You know, years ago, when we do a theater show, we would find that a lot of the people that were in plays in Hollywood, whatever, they would be gone. They'd be in Canada, they'd be all over, but they still wouldn't have that unity what you have.
Yeah.
You know, that synergy. Yeah. I call it synergy.
Yeah, it's a good word.
Because what you're doing is you're building a synergy.
Yeah.
You know, and what makes you so? You know, because when I hear you, it's so exciting. It's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you feel makes this thing so? You know, what I'm trying to say is it's so. We said exciting, but you know this new image of the theater. Children want to go to the theater now.
Mm-hmm.
You notice that more children want to go to theater.
Mm-hmm. I think we're at this age when there's this pushback now against all the screens. I think people are craving live things. They love it.
Right.
And we are seeing a new era of people wanting to go to events, not just to watch Netflix. So we always try to make theater that is really vibrant and alive, that's not just, you know, watching a play in the dark like you would watch a movie, but having audience engagement during the production. And really, like I said, keeping it 90 minutes where it feels there's an intensity that the audience gets to experience together.
And that's cool. And that's cool because you know what? You go to, like a film, it's not the same as a live theater. It's not the same, you know, thing. And one other thing I was going to mention is that the coming weeks, by the way, they have, and from downtown LA, I don't know if you know about it, you don't have to use your car. They have transportation.
I know, it's great.
It's a lot of Uber, a lot of Lyft, so you don't have to drive. You know what I did? I went to see a play a couple months ago, and I had an Uber driver.
Great.
And you know what? It made it so fun because I didn't have to worry about drinking.
Yeah.
I didn't have to worry about you know when you park your car.
Yeah.
And it was good, and you enjoy the theater. You know, and Uber or Lyft is great for those people that want to have a good time, but when you're driving downtown LA, I know it gets to be a lot.
Yeah,
you gotta make left turns where there's left turns, right turns where there's right turns, and they have, like I said, really neat places. And we're rooting for you to do really well with the play.
Thank you.
You know, my question will be regarding in the future of plays of having. You know what I would like to see here, like they do in New York, have a theater city.
Yeah.
Because LA is big enough they could do it.
Yeah, there's weird. The theater community definitely is always working toward that. Is working toward strengthening our community and making the work that we do more visible. And we are becoming a destination for people. A lot of folks moved to LA from New York. So
interesting.
I'm a big fan of LA theater that comes from LA. And you were saying they always bring in or people leave. So I, you know, I'm a big fan that all the theater that's made in LA should be honored as made by LA artists.
Oh yeah, you know? I think so, because you know what it is, when you're an artist, and you have like Los Angeles has got so many things there.
Yeah.
And your play is seen through a lot of, and people in the community will go. You know what I saw in downtown LA? They had these guys. You know, remember in New York, they used to have people with the billboards.
Yeah.
And they have it in downtown LA.
Yeah.
To get people to go to events.
Oh, yeah.
And those are fun.
Yeah.
Those are fun things.
Yeah.
You know? And that's a way to get people to go to the theater. Now, we mentioned your career and where you're at. And we wanted to mention, how could people buy tickets one more time?
So our company's name is Fugitive Kind. So fugitivekind.org has the ticket link. And you can also, our email is there, but I'll just say it
here. Could you buy at the door?
Yes, you can definitely buy at the door.
Okay. I do that
either,
sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. It's Los Angeles. Everybody buys at the door. It's great.
That's true. Yeah. It is true.
But fugitivekindtheater@gmail.com. If you email that you were a listener tonight.
Hello, everybody, listeners.
Yeah. Okay. Email me and we'll give you a special ticket price.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Very nice. And by the way, what we'd like to do, then we'll give some tickets away.
Absolutely. We'll give some
tickets away. We'll give a four-pack, maybe.
Yeah.
One other thing I was going to mention about live theater. You know, we had some a teacher on who teaches the Pasadena schools. They have for the kids.
Yeah.
The main thing the kids are interested in now is live theater.
Mm.
They had an article in the LA
Times.
So
good to hear. Yeah,
because
great.
You know, theater is, we got to keep that art alive.
We do.
And they were cutting the budgets.
Yeah.
Do you think, because you're an artist, do you think that we're at a point in our society where theater will get more recognition, be more of a given art form?
I think we're at a tricky point. Theater is easily drowned out right now.
Why?
Because it's so easy to access your screens where everything is cheaper, because it's just, you don't have to pay people to perform every night. So Netflix is $9 or whatever
it
is now.
But when you have Netflix, but that's a certain entertainment venue.
Yeah.
But when you see a live show.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that I think... I do think that live theater will become more and more popular. I think we have to keep working on making people really want to come.
Yeah.
So instead of just putting on a play without, you know, that might as well look like a TV show,
right.
You know, when you go to theater and just,
right.
It looks like they recreated a TV show. I think we have to really, you know, ask ourselves, like, what makes this live and vibrant and exciting for an audience? And I think that's what you're seeing happen right now. In theaters all over the country is to embrace more of a carnival, more of a circus feel, lots of dance, lots of live music, bands on stage, choreography, and audience interaction, projections. You know, you see a lot of I'm not talking Broadway where they have the budget to do that, but around the country. So, yeah, I think it's an exciting time. There's also great stuff that happens in L.A. There's an LAX performance festival every year.
Right.
And last year I went to an event where you had headsets and you walked around Union Station and you did what it told you to do in the headsets.
Oh, wow.
And it ended up being an immersive theater piece about connectivity and
That's
connecting
cool.
with strangers. So those kind of things are happening in LA that are really exciting.
What you're saying, you know, even that point of, connecting is a key thing because we are a society where some people feel disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And the connection is very important because...
Exactly.
In art, definitely, and covering the people that I have, they enjoy when they see people coming for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, and I love, by the way, the first timers, you gotta go to this play because, you know what, when you go to the theater the first time, you never forget.
That's true. I never forgot. That's absolutely true.
What was the first play you saw?
Going way back, I still remember my first theater experience. My uncle was a professional actor, and so we went to see him in this play. I cannot remember the name of it at the moment. Oh, something about Olympus. It was a comedy.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And And I still remember after the show waiting for autographs. And all these people came out from backstage who didn't look anything like they'd looked on the stage.
Really?
And it was this powerful moment for me to realize about transformation and storytelling
yeah.
and how you become someone else. And that was really poignant for me.
Well, because when you're an actor, you create your own
Absolutely.
Role.
You become bigger than you are.
Yeah, and like, you know, they asked the lady who played Marcia Clark on the O.J. Movie, mm-hmm. you know, she did a powerful performance, how she became Marcia Clark. She said, all I did was I just got my act and branded it to another level.
Yeah.
But people out there, you know, it's so important to just connect.
I love that you're saying that. That's why I still
do
theater.
See, I have my show. That's it.
It's your show. It's great. But that's why I still do theater at my age, because it is a space.
She's a young lady.
I know. I'm not as young as he says I am, but thank you.
Well, that's a compliment.
I know. I love it.
So,
but there's a space to connect.
Right.
Because I think people get tired of their phones and they get tired of their laptops and their
right.
iPads. And they want to come in a room and just be together. And that's something only live art makers can do.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
And what I was going to mention is we're going to keep in contact with you, because I have a feeling this is going to draw to another, like you said,
great.
Medium, like
yeah.
film.
Yeah.
You know, and film will be wonderful, because film's another way of showing the experience.
Totally.
Another theatrical experience. And then what I see is, if you ever watch a movie about the old movies, how they were made, they were all theaters.
Totally, yeah.
They're all like vaudeville.
Yeah.
Was a theater.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Lucille Ball was a vaudevillian actress.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
God, what's his name? George Burns,
mm-hmm.
vaudevillian actor. And mm-hmm. they all came about, and they had I was listening before I got here. They have the comedy thing on XM Radio, where they have a guy, you know, they have all these comedy bits.
Mm-hmm.
And that Groucho Marx was on with a famous
nice.
Actress. And he was so funny
yeah.
because he says, if you don't like my talent, then you don't like me.
Yeah.
And that's how it was
uh-huh.
in those days. And now people should remember the name Amanda.
Mm-hmm. McRaven.
McRaven. And, mm-hmm. and Amanda's got this wonderful play. And we've got plenty of tickets.
We do. Fugitivekind.org.
Yeah, and please, if you can, bring a friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bring a neighbor.
Friend, tell your friends. Bring a neighbor. Bring someone who has never seen a play before.
Right, that's the
Those are the best part. Audience members. We love them. We love to grab them.
I'd like to maybe I'll see your play too. Maybe
absolutely.
I'll see it
Wonderful.
On a Saturday night.
Yeah, that
Saturday
would be great.
Night. Now, Saturday night, what time is it run?
7 from? O'clock.
Seven
it's a little
to about
early.
8?
7 to 8:40.
Yeah, it's a good
yeah.
time.
Yeah, it's good.
Then you
so
go
you'll be out
eating
early.
Afterwards.
Then you
then
can
you
go eat after. I know. It's great.
You go eating at the... They have a Brazilian place, I think, not far from there they put in.
So much good
And Silver
food.
Lake's got so many places.
Food. Yeah.
Silver Lake is like the hotbed of modern
mm-hmm.
folks. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's the way it is. And also what I was going to mention... Mother's Day's coming up.
Mm.
Wouldn't it be a nice thing to take your mom to a play?
It would be a really powerful thing to bring your mom to, actually.
Yeah.
It's a play about fierce women, you know, standing up to authority. And there's a fabulous mother character in the play. Emily Gibson plays Eurydice,
mm-hmm.
who's Creon's wife. And so she's married to this horribly oppressive, narcissistic autocrat. And she's the older generation, so she's made a contract, but you see her in this play really trying to connect with the younger women who are the revolutionaries, and she supports them, she's behind them, but she still has to, she's made a deal with herself that she's going to stay
right.
married to this king. But it's really beautiful to watch her take care of the younger women and support them in their cause, even though she's not going to be out on the streets with signs. She takes care of them, which is really
that's kind of cool. That's
yeah.
a nice message, because to see women portrayed in another level
mm-hmm.
is nice. Because you know what it is? I grew up with Lucille Ball. I grew
yeah.
up with, you know, in the days of, you know, they had Carol Burnett. They had the, you know, the live shows. And then they would have, Larry Hagman's mom. Wonderful actress. She did, she's a, you know, Helen Hayes.
Yeah.
Those are the women of theater. Now we need to ignite the women out there to come.
Yeah.
And also, you know, also too, you remind me, you said about the women. She just died. We didn't talk about her. You know, Barbara Bush.
Yeah.
Barbara Bush was a very strong lady.
She was taking care of a lot of people.
Yeah. And she was. She liked the theater too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I was going to mention, folks, please see the play. And do you have a www?
Yeah, and I have a phone number, too. So it's www.fugitivekind.org, where you can get tickets, find information about the play and our company. The phone number for information is 323-598-0412. We're at Bootleg Theater, which is on Beverly Boulevard, and the play is Antigone.
And do you have, is there parking nearby?
Yes, there's parking, so not to worry. You can take a Lyft if you want a drink in the bar.
Yeah.
Or there is I think it's $5 parking, which is great.
$5
not all theaters have
parking.
Cheap for
downtown?
Yeah.
Because downtown usually 20, 30.
I know.
And with, I remember years ago when the Rams played football, they used to charge $40 for parking.
Yeah.
But what's it, you to have a night, take your mom.
Take your mom.
Mother's Day's coming up.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do Mother's Day specials. You just gave me that idea.
Yeah, is that cool?
Yeah, if you bring your mom, you get a discount. Yeah.
And my mom just passed, and my mom loved the theater. She, my mom went like Hello Dolly.
Yes, my mom loves Hello Dolly.
Hello Dolly, yeah. and with Carol Channing.
Mm-hmm.
And Carol Channing, by the way, she's still alive.
That's right, she is.
She's living in Palm Desert. In fact, she's doing a one-woman play.
Amazing.
You know how old she is? She's 94.
So great.
Can you imagine? 94. Yeah. And she did, she was, George Burns used to joke about her.
Mm-hmm.
And she became an instant success. You know, she did Hello Dolly. Pearl Bailey did Hello Dolly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the New York Ensemble. So people out there, if you want to see something nice, take your mom. And why I say it, why I'm emphasizing mom is because the play is for mom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also for dad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, dad wants to see a play, right?
Yeah, and it's a great play to bring your dad to, too.
Cause Dad's Day.
Dad should be good feminist, too. And
Dad could be a feminist.
Yeah.
It's true. You know what? You know what's funny? The best line with feminist was, they used to have the Smothers Brothers. And I think it was Tommy Smothers. He goes, I may look male, but I'm a feminist.
Yeah.
In those days, and you go, What did he say?
Yeah.
Because in those days, it was very different.
It was.
What, you know, what I was going to ask you, you talked about feminism. Mm. What makes you a strong feminist? Is that a good question?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Oh, that I just so strongly believe that the women's stories are valid and that we have so much to give to the world. And our voices were silenced for centuries. And we are half the population.
That's
and
right.
yet,
That's correct.
For centuries, there was only one, not gender, yeah, one gender
right.
in charge of everything, which to me is ludicrous. So to me, it's about every human life having a voice, having validity, having a seat at the table,
right.
that no one is better than anyone else. We all have a space.
Well, you know, what you're saying is absolutely true, because I was brought up, my dad died when he was young, and my mom raised us, and you get the female energy. And
yeah.
then when the female energy is gone, you feel it.
Yeah.
It's really tough to say, but you feel that female energy.
And I believe that our world is out of whack right now because we only have masculine energy running it all.
Right.
And we need balance between male and female energy.
I'm hoping one day we'll have a female president.
That must happen.
I agree with you.
In my
See, the thing, the big problem in America is the male, you know, like the other party, the Republican, they have females that are wonderful. You know, the lady, the governor of New Mexico, Patricia Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, they're here today, gone tomorrow.
Mm.
And what we need to do is we need to have women have their voices. Like the gal who had the first pregnant.
That's Tammy Duckworth, yeah.
Yeah, I just think about her.
Yeah.
Because look at Tammy Duckworth. She was a war veteran.
Yeah.
She became a congressman. Now she's a senator.
Yep.
And that's what we need to do. We need to spread the word.
And it's part of this era that we're in that's allowing women to rise up is rethinking the structures.
Right.
So there's a great quote by Microsoft's wife, Bill and Melinda Gates. Melinda Gates said, "We're raising our daughters to go to work in our grandfather's workplace." And so we have, and even Tammy Duckworth case, they were saying like the Senate floor still has spittoons on it, you know. So we've created these spaces that men only inhabit. So we have, as a society, have to rethink how to make sure that a woman comes right. back for a second term. So they're not here today, gone tomorrow. So, you know, you offer maternity leave. You allow her to bring her baby onto the Senate floor.
Right on.
You know, she can still do her job until she proves that she can't. But you shouldn't. The men in charge shouldn't decide.
What you're saying is right, because we shouldn't be saying to the person, well, put discrimination, put racism, put all that, get rid of all that, make it a freer world. Because
yep.
women are very important, because once you're out in the workplace, and I seen it the other day, I was going downtown L.A., and I saw a lady getting her first job interview. And you knew she had the confidence, you knew she had the desire, and she got the job.
Great.
And how we knew she got the job? Because she's taking the train.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they take the train
mm-hmm.
if you're downtown, because it's yeah. hard to get parking. But I took the train, and she got the job. So
great.
Confidence,
yeah.
awareness, and we have to have the ability of believing.
Mm-hmm.
And not having discrimination and mm-hmm. all that bad stuff. And you
to
know what?
Believe in people.
We
yeah.
don't go anywhere with yeah. discrimination.
Agree.
Yeah.
agree.
We're you know, see, I'm the liberal one on this channel. So you can ask me anything. I'm the liberal one. Because you know what I found? Because I interview people and what have you, the more you're aligned with even the subject you interview, you find out who their heart is.
Mm.
Like Howard Stern had today. He had Juliette Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
She was on his show. And Juliette Lewis, she's a rocker. She's an actress. Mm-hmm. And he said, you've said these things. What I would rather say is you women should be able to say whatever they want, because they shouldn't be put in a box by the media by saying such and such. So Howard, you know, that's the only thing I didn't like about Howard Stern, is that he'll put something there. We don't care. That's like the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, old stuff. Make women important. Look at her career, Juliette Lewis. She was in that, I can't think of the movie, but as she talks about, what's his name? Oh, God. He played the Charles.
Was it Natural Born Killers?
Natural Born Killers, yeah. She talked about that movie
with
Howard. And we're going to, by the way, we're going to have our book group, we're going to start have people that wrote books come in, and then what we want you to do right now, we want you to dial, get tickets.
Great.
Are they open right now? Are they open right now?
Who?
The ticket?
Yeah.
Program? And the online, please get your tickets.
Yeah, get them.
Because you know what? You see this play, and I'll tell you, you'll feel 100 times better because you'll see something that is uniquely done.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And you'll never see anything like it again. No two plays are the same.
And then you have an ensemble of people that work together.
Yeah.
You'll see the family.
Yeah, you'll see the family.
You should put the family. Like, you know, like sliding the family stone.
Absolutely.
You should put the family. You know, because that's cool. What I was going to mention also is we're going to take our trip soon this summer. I may be going to Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
We cover UFOs. So.
Great.
She goes, "What is this guy had a normal interview?"
Awesome.
And he brings up UFOs. But we found that when we go to Roswell, which we're going to go first time, it'll be fun because you're going somewhere new, somewhere exciting.
Yeah.
And this year will be an interesting year because I'm on my own now. You know, because my mom died.
Mm.
It's just I'm noticing is that I'm doing things that I haven't been able to do.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? You're doing things. But I want to see the play, and I want to, if the person's listening out there, I want to take this gal there because, you know what, I think it'll be fun evening.
Yeah.
To go.
Powerful.
Move yeah. Up. And by the way, you're going to be doing the dates. It's great because the weather gets a little hotter.
Yep.
And what's cool about it is you can enjoy the outside.
Mm-hmm. You know, right.
Especially
yeah.
May.
Yeah.
May and then June.
Mm-hmm.
You know, June 2nd. But give out the, I want you to give out the email where they get tickets.
Yeah. Fugitive Kind Theater.
Uh-huh.
That's E-R, not R-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
And then the website again, www.fugitivekind.org. Or phone 323-598-0412. Can reach us all those ways. We're also on
cool.
Facebook and Instagram.
And you're on Cameron Swartz and Live.
Yes, we are. The place to be.
You know, it's funny when people do my show, and it's interesting because you know I interview so many people that you know because I'm very mellow, I'm very calm down. Is that when you do the show, you get to become part of this?
Yeah.
You know, because I've been doing this for 9 years, yeah. And I'll tell you, everyone I met, they have so much wonderful creativity. Because I met many artists. And the funniest part was when we met the guy who did Elmo's Butter. What was the guy? Yeah, I took a picture with him.
Wow.
Fabio. And Fabio, nice. You know what's interesting with Fabio? He told us about his life, you know,
uh-huh.
in Italy. But he got a role on the Butter commercial. Now, they don't play it anymore, but he made money.
Yeah, for sure.
He made instant money on that one.
Yeah.
But I wanted to mention so that we got a few minutes, but I wanted to mention to folks as we got a few minutes of time that on the now we go to the UFO files.
Awesome.
They're ready for the UFO file. Anyway, what we're going to mention is March 30th, they had a photo of spotting UFOs in the sky over Arizona, and they people were calling up saying, "Hey, there's some saucers up there," but it was true. There was. And the government denied it, which they always do.
Mm.
But there were activity. And in New Jersey, we're going to have Ken Pfeiffer on next week, who's our UFO guy. And they said in New Jersey, they had, by the shoreline, they had ships of UFOs. UFO ships on the shoreline. Can you imagine? You go, whoa!
Awesome.
You know, can you imagine? And then UFO researchers released videos a strange craft hovering in the night sky. And this was over Arizona. Because Arizona's getting a lot of sightings because of the, you know, where it's at. And the mountains, this is something I had never seen before until I went to Arizona. The mountains open.
Because
you have that, you know, have that whole thing. So like theater, there are stuff out there. And you know what I even seen? I seen a UFO change shape. Because they can change shape.
Yeah, sure.
You know, what they do. And one other thing I was going to mention on the Hollywood scene, there are going to be a few film things going on. The Israeli Film Festival is going on right now in L.A. So if you want to go see it, I understand tickets are available. We used to cover it, but you know what happens? You know what happened? We used to cover the American Jewish Film Festival, but what happens is they really don't have the money to market it well, and we would cover it, and it was like they do you a favor.
Mm.
You always want to work out with us. You want to do us a favor.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest problem with the festivals. And the French festival is, I think it's ending. They have the French film festival.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always get invited. You know, being on the air, they would say, "Hey, would you like to go?" Yes.
And if you're a theater lover, the Hollywood Fringe Festival for theater, small
nice.
Theater places is coming in June.
Yeah, are you going to be part of that?
No, not. Oh, yeah, I am actually. I have so much going on. I'm directing a one-woman show for that.
Ooh, do you know what it's called?
It's called One Good Egg.
It's a
one-woman's journey to really finding herself.
Goes back to women.
Absolutely, yeah. Most of what I direct is prioritizing women's stories, so. That's part of my mission.
Well, you know what's cool about that is because you're bringing back what we all knew, that women are very important parts of our lives and that the story needs to be told.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like the Tanya Harding story?
Mm.
That was a little off the case because I heard The mom wasn't as crazy as they thought. But even that was bringing women into fold.
Yeah.
Tanya Hart. And then another one about, what was the one? About Sacramento. A young, they took Rose Byrd.
Oh, yeah. That
I
was Lady Bird.
Lady Bird. Did you see
great.
It?
Yeah, it's a great piece.
Is it a
really
good piece?
Really great. Yeah.
I heard the actress, really she's from Ireland.
Yeah, she's great.
She did a good job on
Ireland.
Yeah,
she was good.
I have to catch up. All right. Anyway, we have a few moments, and we thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That was fun.
Yeah, it's great. Great
to
be here.
We'll bring some of the actors in.
Yep, we'll come back.
Come to get the ensemble.
Yeah.
I love meeting because you know what? The ensemble is cool. They're the true spirit of what this is all about.
Absolutely.
And then as for me, people are wondering, we're going to, you know, we had a hard April because of my mom passing, but we're moving on, and you know, I know my mom's behind me because certain things have been happening, and we're working on an Amazon show.
Great.
So maybe we'll get you as a director.
That's great.
Maybe we'll see you as a director.
That'd be great.
But we're doing things to get my character to go to another realm. So
nice.
you try to do a few things. Yeah. But anyway, with all that in mind, we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight, and from BBS Radio in San Francisco to LA Talk Radio in LA and all over the world. Good night from Los Angeles. So good night, everybody. So we're going to do our good night. Let's see. There we go.